All right, I want to read just a little bit of scripture here and talk to you about the Word of God. I'm not going to try to get into anything specifically speaking, but I just want to try to point out a few things to you tonight. Over in the book of Timothy in the third chapter, the heading of this little reading here, it says the character of men in the last days. I just want to comment just a few minutes. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul is speaking here to his little son Timothy, we say spiritually speaking, trying to indoctrinate him with a good sound character, telling him of the persecutions that he suffered at different places, and here at Lystra and Antioch and some of the other places here that he lists, of having gone through these things. And he tells Timothy that he is to preach the word, but he is to reprove the people, he is to rebuke the people and to exhort the people with all long-suffering and all doctrine. Now, he says here that he is to shun profane and vain babblings that will increase unto more ungodliness, that he is to shun it. He says that Hymenaeus and Philetus, that these are some of the men that withstood him, just as it was in the days when they withstood Moses. And he tells how that in the latter times there will be people that will do the same thing, but that we are to pray that God will grant unto them a repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, in the last days, it says that perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure. Now, I wonder tonight if you can see anything in the day that we're living in that would be a confirmation of the words of this prophetical utterance that was given perhaps almost 2,000 years ago. Here is a man that is speaking many hundreds of years ago, and he has caught a vision of the end time. And he turned to Timothy and he turned to some of the followers. And of course he had people in that day that doubted, just like I've got people to doubt today. He had people in that day that was false brethren because he spoke of false brethren. He had people that resisted the truth because he spoke of them. Hymenaeus and some of the others, how that they resisted Paul. Somebody would say, if we had Paul today, that we'd listen at what Paul the apostle had to say, and we'd do exactly what he told us to. But some of you would find fault with Paul today just the way that you find fault with me and with the other ministers. The same way you'd find fault. He said in that day, he said, there's false brethren that's caused me trouble. And he said, these are they that go around trying to pervert the church and turn them away. Somebody would say, well, I'd be afraid to do it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you had been afraid then, you'd be afraid now. If you're not afraid now, you wouldn't have been afraid then. So then, these people were the same. But Paul, seeing how ungodly that they were, and seeing how that they tried so hard to do away with the truth, he began to perceive by divine inspiration and by revelation that that thing would increase in a manifold way until when Brother Pike come along, that it would be 10 times 10, so to speak. And that in the latter times, Paul said, by faith, by vision, he said, I can see it, that in the latter times, he said, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Past feeling, can do anything and still be religious, can say anything and still say I'm a Christian, can do any way, act any way. I've got men sitting here in the congregation, Brother Taylor, that do the most low-down, ungodly, filthy things and still name the name of Christ and call themselves Christians. I've got ladies here that does the same thing, still call themselves Christians. They say, you don't know. Yes, I do know. But now, Paul said that they would be heady in the last days. They would be high-minded. I ask you this question. A number of times I've brought this to your mind, how that men in the latter times would be heady and high-minded. Looking around us in the day that we're living in, can you see any of the things that Paul spoke of? Can you see people literally going to sleep in the house of God and turning away from the word of the Lord? Can you see people doing that up here when I'm preaching? I can tell that people are hard and fast asleep, spiritually speaking. There's no way to awaken them. They are sleeping the sleep of the dead. They've gone into a slumber that from whence they shall never be awakened. Never. They've gone into a deep sleep. The Spirit of God is beginning to withdraw from them. And the Spirit of God is beginning to take its flight. And people are becoming unconcerned. If you'd confess tonight, some of you that have been devout people, that one time have been devout people will confess that you're doing things now that 5-10 years ago that you wouldn't have done for a gold mine. But you feel it's all right now. You say, well, knowledge has increased and things has changed and I understand. And then I didn't understand, but now I understand. I know that things has changed, but God hasn't changed. And God is the Word. And what the Word said years ago, it's still the same today. He said in the last days that children would be disobedient to parents. Children would be disobedient to parents. Is it the last days? Why, there's never been a day in the history of the world where children talk to mothers and daddies like they do now. I wouldn't have thought about talking to my daddy and mother like the children talk to them now. And I thought I was bad enough. But children are disobedient. They talk to their daddy and mother and treat them like they're some kind of a dog. The Bible said they would do that in the last days. Why did he say they would do that? Because he said devils and demons would come. Is that right? Demons and devils and evil spirits would come. Is that right? And that these spirits would be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These devils would talk to people and they would subduce people and they'd begin to get a hold of people and tear people down and mislead people. And they would convince people that they were right in what they thought and what they wanted to do. And so much, in so much that even the children would be carried away with it. Heady, high-minded, in the latter times, in the last days. Folks, this is the last days. You know, we read something, Brother James, and we say, we get up here and we preach a sermon, and we say, you know, Brother Pike preached that in the last days it's going to be bad. I sure don't want to be around in the last days, do you? And people pro and con, just they say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I can look out here and see where it's really going to get bad. But they never come to realize that the thing that we're preaching is happening right now, right at this present time. It's taking place right now. This is the last days. You're the people that Paul was speaking of. Paul wasn't speaking of somebody beyond your generation. Brother, you're coming up. The last generations have begun to come into the world, it seems. This is the last days. You are the people where he said the children would be disobedient to parents. He said men would be high-minded. Talking about the stars, talking about the moon, things that's way over their head, deep things, out of reasoning. They'd be high-minded in their living. They don't want to live according to their salary. People used to be contented to live in an old shack. Sure, my grandmother scrubbed down the floor, scrubbed down the walls, throw some sand on the floor, and scrub the old house down and make the most beautiful home out of it. But not the ladies of today. If some man married a woman today and took her out to a place like that, she'd think he was, I don't know what she'd think about him. Well, she'd probably divorce him for cruelty. But it is a true fact that we're living in the latter times. This is the last days. We're in the last days. Something is taking place. Some of you say, well, I've lived in that kind of place. I wouldn't mind it. Oh, you're lying. Some of you have lived in a place maybe somewhat like that, but today couldn't even get you to live in it. If your husband got to where you had to live in it today, you'd have a fit. Now you can say amen, a grunt, it don't matter. Some of you eat so much, never give no time to God, all you can do is sit there and grunt. You take an old fat pig, you know, he'll bubble the slop with his nose, you know, and he'll sit there and he'll grunt. He gets the tummy ache or the belly ache and he grunts. Now, what it is, it's the last days. Men would be lovers of self more than lovers of God. David said, let their table be made a snare unto them. If I've ever seen a day when the table is a snare to the people, it's today. It's a snare to them. All they can think about is their belly, eating and buying and getting. Little folks are starving to death in Africa. People that need some help over there, they ain't got time to do that. They've got to have some new cloth for a new dress. They've got to have a new car. Got to have some money for something. They don't have time to send a Bible into Africa or do something for somebody over there. I got some more letters today from Africa. People over there don't even know what they're doing. Some fellow wrote today and said, Brother Pike said, would you please send us some Bibles? He said, I'm a Catholic. He said, I'm a good Catholic. Would you please send me a Bible? And I thought, you couldn't be very much of a Catholic talking about getting a Protestant Bible. You don't even know what you're talking about. People over there wanting the gospel. All they want is somebody to give them the Word of God. They don't know nothing about Catholicism. They don't know what they are. They just know that they're without the Word of God. They're hungry and they're starving to death. And somebody says, you're Catholic, so they say, I'm Catholic. But it's up to you and I to get the Word of God with it to them. But you know what's wrong with us? Why, you're not going to give. Some of you are not going to give. I've seen brethren give until it hurt. I mean really hurt. But some of you won't give nothing. That's right. And you feel that God is going to do the same thing for you that he's doing for all of the rest. Because you say, well, I can't afford to. Peter couldn't afford to walk on the water, but he walked on it anyway, didn't he? I say he couldn't afford to do it, but he did it anyway. Isn't that right? Jesus couldn't afford to go to Calvary, but he went there anyway, didn't he? He couldn't afford to do it because it cost him his life, but he went there anyway. Anything that God's ever done, he couldn't afford to do it. I can't afford to be on radio stations all over the country. When I went on them before, about 13 or 14 of them before, I couldn't afford it then, but I went on them and God met the way. Couldn't afford to build the church, but we built it anyway. That carnal mind of yours can't afford nothing toward God but take a notion for a new dress, take a notion for another car, take a notion to go up the store and splurge a little bit. Get some whipped creams and some jelly and some cake. Say, well, I can't afford this, but after a while you stand there and reason a little bit and say, I can't afford it. I know I owe somebody over here and I can't afford it. Well, I can just wait. I'm not going to starve myself to death for him. And here the bug, he'll go. I know. I've seen him do it. Now, I'm not scolding you. It's all right. Solomon said the best thing you could do is eat. That's the best thing you can do. Unless you're going to serve God is eat. But now, why are you eating? What about the people in Africa? What about the people around the world that needs the gospel? What are we going to do? Are we going to listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and let devils indoctrinate us and take everything that we've got away from us? Are we going to lose the virtues of our own daughters and the virtues of our own wives and the virtues of our own lives by listening to seducing devils and spirits? Are we going to neglect the gospel and just let the Word of God go when we could do something about it? I'm not going to do it if God will help me. I'm not going to do it. Now, you can do it if you want to, but I'm not going to do it by the help of God. The song said, I've got but one goal, and that's to please God. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Men would be heady in the last days. High-minded, want to go to the moon. Heady, educational. Heady. They'll be heady. Somebody said, let's get a college education. Why? Because the Bible said they'll be heady in the last days. Why? Because everything's got to come to a head. They'll be heady in the last days. It's heading up. Coming to a head. That's what it is. Heady. Heady in the last days. Men's got to have an education. They got a reason. You try to tell them something, say, let's do something for God. They say, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to do it. Say, let's lunch out and take a chance for God. We can't afford to do it. Now, what they mean is, if the pastor wants to lunch out and do something, he better do it on his own. He better not expect me, somebody will say. Let him pay his own bills. I ain't worried about it. That's why you can't afford to do it. Because you say, how am I going to pay on the telephone? How am I going to pay on the television? And how am I going to pay on the new car? And how am I going to pay on the land? How am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? And I can't do this and I can't do that. And vacation time comes, you just find it so easy to take a vacation. If you want to go visit your relatives, you find it so easy to go visit your relatives. If you want to take 2 or 3 days off from work, you find it so easy to do it. And you manage to get by. But when you need something for God, you just can't see how you could put a bill off. But when that lazy streak hits you, you see how you can put them all off. Don't bother your bit. Now, what is it? Men are heady. They reason in their minds. They reason in their minds. They reason in their minds. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. And you can take it any way you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. When a person doesn't put their finance in God or in the things of God, you can be for sure that the heart's not in it. Jesus said, where a man's treasure shall his heart be also. That's why he said, lay up treasures in heaven. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. I have observed men, Bill, in my lifetime. I've got people here right now. I watch them. And the very people that I know that God has revealed to me that their heart is not in the thing that we're doing, they are the very people that won't give in the offerings when the weekend comes. Now, we don't take it in the church, but there's men that come and give it to God without taking it in the church. And those very same people are the people that won't give. They've got all kind of excuses. They either didn't make enough this week or they can't afford it. You know what it is? Their heart is not in God. Now, I don't want your money. This is unusual for me to talk like this because I don't want it. I don't need it. God's supplying my needs already. That's right. Right now, I see multiplied thousands of dollars that he's done showed me that's coming in, and that's the truth. Now, so that isn't a reason. But tonight, I just wanted to point out something to you. The Bible said use righteous judgment. The same people that say that they can't do this and they can't help with this, it is the very same people that you'll find living a hypocritical life, and those very same people are the people that give you trouble. They're the very same people that don't have their heart in what you're doing. When a person's got their heart in something, they'll give to it. It's like a banker. I asked him one time, why he couldn't just go ahead and finance something. I said, why can't you do it? The value of it's there. It's worth it. He said, I want to tell you something. I said, all right. He said, we want you to invest some of your money in it. Said, because we know that if you invest some of your money in it, you're going to be concerned about it. And we feel like our investment is protected. But if you don't invest anything, then we're not too sure that you're going to be concerned about our investment in it. And of course, they judge that you can't put as much in it as they do, but what you do put, proportionally speaking, will be an equality of what they're putting, proportionally speaking, in that they're able to do more. And that's the way God is. Same way. You know, as God feels that if you make some kind of investment in it, then your heart's in it. And you want to have a part in it. And God don't mind making an investment. Somebody say, Lord, give me a big tent. God, give me a tractor and trailer. God, give me some radio programs. God, give me a church and a congregation to preach to. God say, all right, what do you want to invest in it? Oh, I just want to get a loan, God. I just thought maybe you'd give me a loan. God said, okay, I will. I'll give you 2/3 of it. You put a third in it. You're willing to fast any? You're willing to pray any? You're willing to study to show yourself approved? You're willing to make any sacrifice? You're willing to deny yourself any? Well, now see, we want everything for nothing. Isn't that right? We want everything for nothing. We don't even invest anything in anything. But God doesn't work like that. The Bible said, you draw nigh unto God and God will draw nigh unto you. If you'll draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. A lot of times bankers won't lend money to different people because they go back and check their credit. You say, why? Why do they check their credit like that? It seems like sometimes they go back there and they check their credit. It looks like they strained a gnat and swallowed a camel. They'll check a man's credit. It's good and they won't loan him nothing. Another fellow come along and maybe his credit's not as good and they'll loan him something. But see, they're judging his character, and they're looking back, and they're checking his credit. They see if he has made an investment properly in one thing, then they're convinced he'll properly invest in another thing. If one person over here could trust him, then they can trust him. And they judge and evaluate to see if he's had a hard time or some mishap has come. If it's a smart man, he'll judge him. That's the way God is. I said earlier this evening, we use our excuses. See, for convenience. We make it convenient for us. In other words, if grace has taken away our sins, why not just have a frolic? Why worry about it? Let God take care of it. But I'm going to tell you something. The last days, there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A lot of people don't know it, but there's doctrines of devils. There's preachers that go about with doctrines of the devil. That's right. You say, what is a doctrine of the devil, Brother Pike? A doctrine of the devil is something that doesn't found itself on the Word. That's a doctrine of the devil. Anytime a man preaches something, it's not the Word, it's a doctrine of the devil. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care if they got a church denomination, if they've got 50 million followers, it's a doctrine of the devil if it's not the Word. It's got to be on the Word. Now you say, well, everybody out here preaches the Word. They preach a portion of the Word. Now somebody say, well, if they come and preach the Word, isn't that right? The devil quoted the scripture to Jesus. That wasn't right. He stood and quoted the Word to Jesus. Was that right? No, it wasn't right. Why? It was the devil using the doctrine. Is that right? It wasn't right. The devil took the Word and he quoted the Word. But the motive behind what he was doing was contrary to the kingdom of God. He was taking the very preeminent figure of God's plan and trying to crush him before he could accomplish what God had ordained him to do in the world, to hinder the kingdom of God. Some of you people that come to church, if you do give, or some of you that come to church, if you do pray a little bit, a fast, or whatever it is, it's not for the convenience of the kingdom of God. Like God said on one occasion, they cried out and said, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge of it? Why have we prayed and afflicted ourselves, and you won't pay any attention to it? Why? He said, because you do these things as a convenience for your own self. You don't do it to make your voice to be heard on high. You're not interested in what I think about it or whether God can hear it or not. You've got your program. You've got your plan. You've got your little clique. You've got your society. You've got your evangelist association. Now, it don't matter about the Word. It don't matter about people going to hell. It don't matter if you tell somebody just a little something wrong over here. After all, what difference does it make if a little something's wrong? You know, if a doctor operates on you, he cuts one of your kidneys out, and he just happens to forget and leaves the scissors in there. It's just a little thing, you know. Sew it up. Why worry about that? We can buy another pair of scissors. Sure, the loss is not too bad. Got plenty of scissors. See how foolish that is? That's the same way with these fellas. Like I heard somebody talking just recently. Why worry about baptism, somebody said. What difference does it make how you're baptized? Somebody said, well, I don't see where it makes any difference. These compromising devils that go around the country, they call themselves preachers. They say, I don't see why it makes any difference. Be baptized any way you want to. Well, I want to tell you, it does make a difference. The Bible said you're to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. And when you teach somebody else something else, that is a doctrine of the devil. It's a seducing spirit and a religious spirit. It's trying to lead people astray. It's what it is. Oh, somebody get their feathers ruffled up when you talk like that, you know. Say, you just said something about my grandmother and my granddaddy. Both of them preachers, been preaching all their life. I can't hear what they've been preaching. Bible said, preach the Word. When the Word is preached, there's only one Word, one faith, one God, one baptism. Amen. The name Jesus has remission of sin in it. When people go around preaching that women are called to preach, they are a liar. I said they are a liar. Because it's a devil and a seducing spirit, God never called a woman to preach. And God never will call a woman to preach. Because it's contrary to the Word. And Paul said, Timothy, preach the Word. It's a doctrine of the devil. It's broke up homes. It's tore homes apart. It's wrecked churches. It's turned women into prostitutes and men into whoremongers. And you tell me the Word of God does that? God's Word don't do no such. It's a doctrine of the devil. The Holy Ghost never told anybody that. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost is come, he will testify of me. Amen. Who is me? The Word. What is the Word? Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name. Is that right? A woman is not called to preach. The Bible said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Is that right? Or it's a shame for women to speak in the church. So you need to get your man speaker. You love the Lord? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I said I wasn't going to have a long, drawn-out thing. I want to exhort you just a few minutes. Just give me another breath or two here. Now, what is it? It's seducing spirits. It's doctrines of the devil. It's seducing spirits. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you know that when you say that, you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people? When Noah told them people, he said, if you don't get in this ark, he said, God's going to drown you. He was talking to hundreds and thousands of people. Why, the governor, the senator, whatever they had in that day, no doubt they throw their shoulders back and thought, well, who does he think he's talking to? Don't he know that there's multitudes of us out here? And we got this denomination, we got that denomination, and we got our cliques, and we got our societies, and we got whatever we got. Here he is building some old shabby-looking barn out here. He calls an ark, and he tells us that if we don't get in there with him, we're going to drown. Boy, they thought he was some kind of freak. But I want to tell you something. If you don't get in here with me, you're going to drown. If you don't get in here with me, you're going to drown. There ain't but one way. Ain't but one door to it. And Jesus said, I'm the door, the way, the truth, life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. To get into the ark, there's a way of escape. Jesus is that way. There's a door open in heaven. You can go through there if you want to. But if any man get up any other way, that's right, through denominationalism or through non-denominational. There's people that's non-denominational. I hear people, they beat on the denominations and beat on the denominations. They say, denomination this and denomination. Some of the non-denominational is just as rotten as some of the denominationals. As a matter of fact, I met some of them that was a little worse. At least in some of the denominations, they do have some kind of system, you know. And you do find some good people there, people that love God. But some non-denominational, it's hard sometimes to find any of them. Any kind of denomination. I don't care what kind of denomination it is. If that denomination is not preaching the Word of God, then it is a doctrine of the devil. If it's a non-denominational church and they don't preach the Word of God, it is a doctrine of the devil. They can go to church, they can fast, they can speak in tongues, they can shout, they can dance, they can holler, they can give in the offering, they can build a big church, they can do what they call evangelizing the world, but if they don't preach the gospel, it's a seducing spirit and a doctrine of the devil. And I say to you again, when them men get up there and they quote that scripture, don't you know they're God men? If that's true, when the devil quoted the scripture to Jesus, and he quoted it every jot, every line, every tittle, go back and check it and see. And you say he was a God man? You say that was a God spirit? No, what you need to do is check the motive. Some of you people that come to church here, and some of the people that go to church around the world, what you need to do is don't judge yourself as a Christian because you go to church. But what you need to do is to find out what's the motive of going to church. Why do you come to church? Some of you preachers that run around the country and go everywhere. You don't need to think that you're a God-called preacher because you're traveling around the nation and preaching the Word. But you need to check your motive for what you're doing. Why are you preaching the Word? What's the motive behind it? Is it a compassion for lost souls? Is it to please God? Is it to try to establish the kingdom of God in the world? Somebody said, well, sure, you know that I'm doing that, Brother Pye. Then tell me one thing. Why is it in all of your preaching that you compromise and cut corners and do everything that's unlike Jesus if you're trying to establish his kingdom? What kind of law is that? There's no law that's any good if you cut the corners on it. You got to come right down the line. You know what it is? They're heady. They're heady. They use their own reasoning. When the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, you try to figure it out up here. They don't know. Some of them don't know here that I understood this when I was wanting to go on the radio. I began to watch the little thing up here begin to click, you know. Brother James says a calculator begin to turn. And I begin to watch the figures and the dollar marks go by, you know. And I could see their brain work as it began to go into a tailspin. And I thought, what's the matter with Brother Pike? Don't he know that I can't afford that? Yeah, I know you can't afford it. That's why I'm doing it. If I know you can't afford it and I do it, that'll cause you to give the glory to God and you'll quit worrying about it. You'll quit going around trying to lead everybody to believe that you're taking care of Brother Pike in the church. That's why I made a statement so many times. Every time you brethren think that you can handle it, I say, well, we'll just add another branch on. You love the Lord? Don't reason, believe. Don't reason, believe. We're supposed to be believers. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. That's the truth. I love you. I want to help you. But folks, they're seducing spirits. When the Lord said in the last days, He meant today, because to these days that we're living in, this is the last days. This is the last days. There is doctrines of devils and seducing spirits right now. Right now. There is lying signs and wonders. There's ministers of the devil that's going to and fro right now. Right now. Right now. There is right now. What is their motive? Some of them wants to be famous. Some of them wants to be movie stars. Some of them wants to be... You know, I've said this and I still say it. God have mercy on somebody that gets out here now. You know, they can't be a success out there in the Elvis Presley world. They can't be a success out there. And so they figure around and saying, well, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I know, while them old holiness people over there listening to anything, let's go over and get us a quartet. So they get him a quartet and a preacher. He feels sorry for them, and he lets them up. And then they get to joking, and they get to frolicking, and they put on a show, and they get to clowning, you know. Sure, the quartets of today, we got some of the most outstanding singers that we got. It's the biggest clowns in the church. I walked in the church, and they'd be singing, and they'd be cracking jokes like, but when I was back in show business years ago, that they used to use on the stage. That's right, cracking jokes. Why? Just a bunch of clowns. That's what it is. And the people, they just giggle and they love it and they eat it up. And it's just exactly what they want because they're in a backslidden condition themselves. And they don't enjoy the gospel. The Bible said they won't endure sound doctrine in the last days. You can't preach nothing sound to them because they don't want that. It bothers them. So then they say, you know, I just love the way that fella preaches. Say, why? Have you ever seen him kick his foot up? He dances, he kicks his feet up, he claps his hand, he does everything but stand on his head. And it just makes me laugh. I just feel so good when I'm around him. Well, you can feel the same way if you go down to a football game. Go out to the baseball game. If I was going to be a hypocrite, I wouldn't want to ease into a congregation and get in the church and cover myself up like a sheep and be a wolf. If I was going to do that, I'd get back out yonder and go into show business and get out there and have my frolic and leave God and God's people alone. But you know, the devil doesn't want that. Now, the devil wants somebody that looks real good when he has a counterfeit. That's what he wants. Some of these quartets are rotten to the core. They've gotten more business singing gospel songs than I've heard it said, as a rooster with a side comb. They've got no business doing it. They need to be back out yonder in the world and in the slop holes with the pigs where they belong. That's what they need to do, is get out of the church and get back out there in the slop holes with the pigs. That's where they belong. But let's keep the sanctuary clean. Let's keep the pulpit clean. It's all right to be pleasant. It's all right to say sober things. It's all right to say holy things. Jesus said, go tell that fox. One writer said, bear with me a little in my folly. It's all right when it's holy and it's upright and it's for God. But when we turn the pulpit into a place for a comedian and we get everything that we can, we turn it into a quartet up here and it's got long hair and everything else, I got some men here that if they don't cut that hair off, I want them to stay off of my platform. I don't want you up here. If you can't cut that long hair off, stay away from up here. I don't want you up here. That's right. I don't want a bunch of sissies and a bunch of hippies. If you want to be a hippie, go out there and join the hippies. I don't like a feminine man. I hate to see a feminine man come around with his fingernails polished that acts like he wants you to kiss him on the hand every time he comes around. I like a man. If he's a man, let him be a man. A woman act like a woman, let a man act like a man. I hate to see a woman come around, you know, puffing her cigarettes and spitting in your face just about it when she talks to you, bow like a lion and gets up, and every time you try to talk to her husband, she butts in, and you can't say nothing to him. because she's got all the answers and her husband is an ignoramus. That's right. As far as she's concerned, she's the leader of the house anyway. And she's done got him so warped up on his axis until he's got to believe in that. I've talked to some of the men. They say, well, my wife, she's my wife. You know, my wife, my wife. And then you try to talk to him. Well, he don't know nothing. You know why he don't know nothing? She's done brainwashed him. She's done told him he don't know nothing. He's supposed to keep silence. He's some kind of dummy. But what he needs to do is to rise up, take his place. Snatch the cigarette out of her mouth, cause her to put on her dress, and tell her to be a lady or hit the road. That's right. If I want to marry a man, I'll go out there and I'll do like they do. I'll marry a man. But if I want a woman, then I want to marry a woman. And I don't want to live with a man after I marry a woman. I want a woman, not a man. My wife don't want to live with some sissy running around like some silly woman. I've seen the silliest men. You know what it is? It's devils. It's demons. It's evil spirits. It's seducing spirits. You know what does it? It's education that does it. It always goes back to the tree of knowledge or to education. That's what does it every time. Trace it back, and those feminine fellas are always some of the most educated people you ever seen. The world calls them educated fools. I said the world does. And they love educated fools. But I'd rather be a fool for Christ, hadn't you? I don't mind being a fool, but I don't want to be an educated fool, and I don't want to be a fool for the world. I want to be a fool for Christ. That's what I want. All right, I said I was going to just exhort you a little bit and close. Folks, this is the last days. This is the time when men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is the day when men had rather frolic than to do anything that's sober and right. They don't want any responsibility. They don't want anything to overtax them. They don't want to do anything that put them under pressure. They want a position in the church, but they don't want any responsibility with it. None whatsoever. They want to be before the public and tell them what they think about everything, but they don't want to take not 1 minute to learn whether or not it's right or wrong. That is the thing that they're telling them. I know this for a fact, and I'm going to close. Men sat around, eat, sleep, drink, go to the restaurants, ride around with telephones in their automobiles. I've seen them. They got a toothpick like this in a big fine automobile. Now, I know sometimes you'll do that if you get a T model. But they go around, you know, they're picking their teeth and trying to get the chicken and the steak out of it. Big, fat, riding around, doing nothing. They get right out. I've known them to do it. Get right up from the table, just glutton, pat, couldn't hardly breathe, go to the pulpit and preach a sermon. That's right. They did it. Somebody said, well, did they talk about the Bible? Sure, they talked about the Bible. Some of them just about memorized it. But that don't have anything to do with it. I listen in closing. The Jews had the word. But it was before Calvary. And I'm not going to try to get into Revelation. I just want to drop a thought. It was before Calvary they had the word. The Amish people is a type of this. The Amish people have the word, don't have the spirit at all. That is, people have been brought up in the natural word. That's all they know. They're a type of the Jew. On the other side of Calvary, they have the word. But the Bible said it was a dead word. It did not profit them that heard it because there wasn't any faith mixed with it to turn it into spirit and life. But when Jesus took the law of the letter, he mixed it with the spirit of God and he turned it into spirit and into life. And it became a quickening spirit of life to everyone that could believe on the letter of the law through Christ. He put the spirit with it. When you get the understanding of God and you get it down in your spirit, and you mix your spirit with it, and it becomes a living, everyday affair with you. It becomes alive with you. Something living, something alive, something that makes you fast and pray, study, that desires to win souls. Something that makes you love to come to the church or the house of God. Something that makes you want to love everybody, be holy, be pure in body and in spirit. Then you've got the right thing, my brother and sister. If you've got anything less than that, then you've got a doctrine of the devil. You've got a dead letter that's a judgment against you in the day of the judgment. I'd like for you to stand with me. God. is moving by Spirit. There is a lot of people that are out in the world today, and they're caught in the denominational veils of the doctrines of mankind. And they're good people, but God's going to bring them out. God's going to bring them out. You know what? Here is the thing that's so distorting. Here is the thing that is so distorting. Somebody looks at those great churches, denominational powers, and they say, well, I've heard people preach that God's going to bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. And today they're bigger denominations than ever. Got more people in them than ever was. And that's true. The Bible said the multitude shall be turned into hell. They're growing leaps and bounds. They're making allowance for every ungodly, filthy doing, every evil, till there ain't nothing barred out anymore. That's why that Brother Oral Roberts went and joined the Methodist Church. That's right. I believe Oral was a fine man. Got nothing to say against him now. But that's the very reason he went and joined the Methodist Church. He knew the Pentecostals wasn't no different from the Methodists. Why, he done been there with them and preached. He done seen them run around in miniskirts and everything else. They wasn't no difference. When Oral Roberts joined up with the Pentecostal people, there were people that wore long dresses, long sleeves, high neck dresses, that dressed holy. I've seen pictures where he was with people like that in his early ministry. But he saw that they wasn't no different from the Methodists. Why was they quibbling and fussing? And why was they throwing mud at the Methodists? Some of the Methodists was in better shape than they were. So why not join the Methodists? If the Methodists can take care of your obligations and the things that you need better than the Pentecostals, why not do it? If there's no difference, I don't see no difference in it. Why not do it? What it is, it's true that they're growing. It's true that they're bigger than ever. But you don't realize that all the time that they've been growing, God's been calling his people out, calling them out. One or two come out, and one or two come out, and one or two come out. I know they replaced them 10 times 10. They replaced them with every unclean and hateful bird. And the Bible said God has turned it into a cage. Come out of her, my people, be not partakers of her sins, because her sins has reached up to heaven. That's why they got their foot on the moon. Knowledge, high-minded, intellectual, heady. But says she's a cage. She's not a church anymore. She's a cage. She's a denominational cage of every evil, unclean, many-skirted spirit, lust spirit, covetous spirit, temper, hatred, cunning businessmen that use it for a cover-up. That's where the church is. It's become a cage. And God has pulled his out. Pulled his out. He's got his little group. He's pulled them out. He's pulled them out. He's pulled them out. And now she's become a cage. And when the mother of all harlots comes to get her daughters, the same Roman Catholic system that instigated it from the beginning comes to get her Protestant daughters that have at last, got worldly enough, got out under the camouflage of grace to where the devil can turn them into his own image. After that, he can't hide anymore, and everybody looks at him and knows that they're of the world, and the elect is pulled away and got right with God. Then the mother harlot, or the mother of harlots, she'll come and get them, and her society and the confederation of churches will come together. Why not? Why not? They've seared their conscience with a hot iron. Somebody's got to tell them they're all right. And a true God-man ain't going to do it. So there's only one religion, and that's the universal religion, that can tell them that they're all right and tell them not to worry. God understands. Jesus died for you. He understands. After all, they say, won't the harlots and the whoremongers go into the kingdom of God? Don't the Bible teach that? No. No. Somebody said it says it'll go in before the Christians. You're perverting the word of God. It didn't say that. Paul said, such was some of you until you were clean, washed, made holy. But everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Let him be holy in body and in spirit. It's over. It's over. It's over. You are the people that's come to the end of the trail. It's over. All this false doctrine of women teachers and being baptized anyway, just any old way will do, and living just any old way, and all you got to do is believe. All the doctrines of the devils that they've been preaching is come to an end. God's tired of it. He's going to wash the whole thing up and make them swallow it down. That's right. It's like when Moses come off the mountain over there and they ground the golden calf up and made them swallow it down. It's going to be a bitter pill, but they're going to swallow it down. Some of them's already doing it. Let's just slip our hands up just for a few minutes. This is the last days. This is where men have come to head in high-mindedness, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is the days when they're eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. This is the days of the coming of the Lord. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the hour of His coming. The prophets, what they prophesied about, the prophecies are fulfilled. And the gospel of the kingdom is gone in all the world for a witness. Jesus said, then shall the end come. It's gone into Africa. It's gone into India. It's gone into all the foreign flung places in the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And the end is at hand. The Bible said, be vigilant, be sober. Thine adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion. Because he knows it's the end. Said he knows he has but a short time. It's the end. He knows it's the end. Brethren, search your heart. Search your heart, sisters in Christ. Search your heart. Search your heart. Bring every thought into subjection. Get honest with your fellow man. Get honest with God. Get honest with yourself. Confess your evils. Confess your faults. Confess your wrongs. Ask the Lord to help you. It's over. It's over. Like the vision, Richard come up here crying the other night. Crying. He said that somebody was running around, I understand. Brother Bob and some of the others hollering, the book's finished. It's over. It's over. We're down at the end of the trail. I remember the song Vepelis wrote, the end of the trail. We've come to the end of the trail. It's the end of the trail. People don't like this kind of preaching. They stoned Stevens to death for it. The world loves its own. The world will work with you. If you, you know, they say good things unto us, prophesy smooth things to us. But don't you tell us this. They get upset. They come together, you know. They get in their little groups and little societies. And they say, we better get rid of that fella. He's a thorn in our flesh. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than that. Paul said, you'll be judged by the words I speak and God will turn you into hell. More than a thorn in your flesh. While you're searching your heart, while God is speaking to your heart, I don't feel a great conviction here, but I feel a soberness here tonight. I feel some people getting sober in their minds. And while I feel a spirit of soberness about you, the Bible said be sober. Don't be drunk. Don't be drunk on all the cares of life. Be sober. Thine adversary, the devil, he's going about. He's not just staying in one place. He's going about. He comes over to your house. He comes over to my house. He goes over to everybody's house. He's going about. What is he doing? He's seeking an entrance. Don't give place to the devil, the Bible said. He's seeking an entrance. He's looking for a hypocrite. The Bible said God's taken the hypocrite by surprise. He's looking for somebody that's trying to cut the corners so that he can ease in. Ease in. Make everything look rosy. Make it look like worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said from such turn away. To get you in a trap, to lead you on out there, make you feel like you're doing good. Getting plenty. Everything's going right. God's with you. Until he gets you away from the things of God. And then he gets you cold and careless and indifferent. And then all of a sudden you find yourself cut off from the house of the Father, the Father's house. Cut off. Now all of a sudden you feel cold and indifferent. Folks, listen, I tell you the truth in Jesus' name. The devils are going to get so bad till you're not going to be able to have control of yourself. You mark what I'm telling you. Get honest. Get honest. There is people here in this very audience tonight. This is the truth, and God knows that this is the truth. That right now, there's people that's listening to my voice right now. That right now, you can't control yourself already. The devils have got control of you in such a way that already you can't control yourself. You're in such a condition that you can't control yourself. You're afraid that you're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're afraid you've got some kind of disease and you're going to die. You worry about it all the time. You're afraid because there's a continually evil, filthy thoughts in your mind against humanity and against God and concerning every evil, devilish deed there is. You're afraid that you'll rise up and hurt your children or hurt your loved ones and not be able to constrain yourself. You're afraid of it. You know why? You're losing your faith. You've made your faith shipwrecked. You can't believe anymore. You can't control yourself. It takes faith. You've got to have some faith to believe that you won't do them things. And that God will help you, that you'll get strength. But you played around so much. You seared your conscience. You got past feeling. You do anything that you want to. You dress any way you want to. You act any way you want to. And because of that, you're in a terrible condition. You are in a terrible condition. A terrible condition. May God have mercy on your soul. Father of heaven, as we come to the close of another service tonight, needing a touch from your spirit. Dear God, I still recall the vision. Oh, how great, oh Lord, was the dryness. How great was the drought, Father, when the whole earth turned into powder and into dust. Dear God, at that moment, Lord, when I saw the thing so horrible, Lord, that for many days, Lord, I didn't even share it with my own family. And dear God, I saw the horribleness of it. The earth turning into a powder. And dear God, the voice in it that made me to know that the Spirit of God had lifted from the earth and been taken away. And Lord, there was no need to preach. And dear God, there was no need to write a book. There was no need to publish anything concerning the gospel. Because Father, in the vision, it was too late. It was too late. It was too late. And I remember how horrifying it was, Jesus. God, may I escape, and may the people escape. Dear God, may we be sealed in with your spirit, and may we escape from the horribleness of those things, Lord, that I saw. And Jesus, I'm persuaded, God, that it must be close at hand. Dear God, that it must be close at hand. Lord, for in the vision, it had to do with the death of my dad. And Lord, you know that he's been gone for just a few months. And oh Lord, I know that it had to do with it, for it showed it in the vision. And dear God, there's something that's taking place. May you have mercy on my soul, and dear God, on the people's souls. May your spirit, Lord, come down upon us and help us.